we do want to kind of pick up where we left off yesterday, as we left off on this thing of inheritance. But I realized I really wanted to help you know, understand the contrast as I was studying and praying this morning, the contrast between the orphan and the son. Let me do another little a little eye-opener for all of us. How many really struggle with less than 50% of their time living as a spiritual orphan? Less than 50% of their time really struggle there. Boy, some of you are doing great, and others remember Psalm 116:11, you know, and all men are liars, so... but we want to kind of pick up. We stopped yesterday with the illustration or the experience that I had at 21, 22, 23 years old with a man that came in and just took me in and fathered me in the whole way of the sea. And he taught me to be a sea captain and taught me to be successful at sea. And he literally became what I call a spiritual father. And you have spiritual fathers and you have spiritual mothers. And I want to kind of pick up where that thought, because I rejected him. I rejected sonship from him. I lost my inheritance. And with that thought and this whole thought of the orphan and the whole thing of a spirit of sonship, let's just move to where we'll get to the answer. And then tomorrow we will do the answer, because we want to give plenty of time to healing of the heart. And so we'll change the structure a little bit. I thought we'd spend 20 minutes there, and we spent an hour there. But this phrase is what I'd like to start with as we go into this session. It is difficult to have an intimate relationship with God as Father unless you have a spirit of sonship. It is very difficult in this hour to have an intimate, loving relationship with God as Father unless you have a spirit of sonship. Now, think about historically, especially those that have been Christians 20 or 30 years. In the 70s, you could have a realm of intimacy with God by relating to Jesus. We found that in kind of the 60s or 70s. And then somewhere in the 70s and 80s, we found we had to go a little bit further. We had to go into deep, intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. And there was great emphasis through the charismatic renewal on the Holy Spirit. And we found intimacy. But around the end of the 80s, the early 90s, it's like intimacy dried up. And no matter how much we prayed, no matter how hard we worked at it, no matter how much we worshiped, it's like we were just in a drought in a desert. We were in the middle of transition. And the transition was to bring us now into intimacy with the Father. And we began yesterday morning sharing, really, today in this hour of church history, to really walk with God, we've got to walk with Him as Father. And to walk with Him as Father, we've got to walk with Him in this spirit of sonship. And that brings us to this question I asked yesterday. Whose son are you? Whose daughter are you? Jesus could only do what He saw the Father doing, and whatever the Father does, the Son does in like manner. You can only do and operate in the spirit realm to the degree of following and modeling your life after the father or mothers in your life. And I'm not speaking here at this moment of Father God. I'm speaking of spiritual fathers and mothers. That we will only seem to mature and grow. It takes 10, 15 years at sea as a mate to ever come to be a captain of a fishing boat if you do not have someone father you, train you in it. I could make it in 2 years. And many people in the body of Christ never mature. They're orphans within the body of Christ because they've never allowed themselves to be fathered. And we can use the phrase, and we can very easily say, well, I've never known a true spiritual father or mother. Well, it's like one minister said to me in close friend just a few weeks ago as we were in an accountability time, and him and Philip Miles, my other accountability partner and minister, were sitting there, and he said, what finally helped me realize the reality of this father message, when I realized no matter who came into my life, I would not let myself be fathered, because as soon as I spent any time with them, I would see the faults and weaknesses in their life, and once I saw the faults and weaknesses, I won't receive them. And see, God sends us spiritual fathers and mothers, but we see the faults and weaknesses. We've lost basic trust. And I said it yesterday, how can we receive Him whom we cannot see as Father when we can't receive whom we can see as Father? Paul said, first the natural, then the spiritual. First, it's a relationship of submission here, because submission is all about this word, humility. And humility before man, before God, begins with humility before man. Humility before God and truly humbling yourself doesn't come by just coming to an altar and confessing your sin and inviting Jesus in your heart. True humility, there's an article on this on our website. True humility comes by the demonstration of how much you can humble your heart and bow your knee to others. That's basic trust. It's this act of submission. And I ask you the relation again, once more. Whose son are you? Now, I want to take that question, we just spoke about it in the natural realm. Now let's bring that question into the spiritual realm. Whose son are you? Father has revealed Himself as the Father of creation, but there's another Father. There's the Father of lies. In John 8:44, Satan is revealed as the father of lies. And as Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees in John 8:38, he says to them, you're doing the deeds of your father. He repeats it again in verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. And as you look at your life, and as you looked at the contrast of the orphan or sonship, you're doing the deeds of the voice of the Father you're listening to. Because who was the first orphan? Satan. Because he took on a spirit of rebellion. He lost humility, lost submission, lost dwelling in the center of Father's house in a home of perfect love, and he went into a distant land. And he became the first orphan. And now his intentions for all of you is because he's been rejected and he feels like an orphan. You notice how your friends, especially in the teenage years, once they started drinking, they got to get you drinking too. Once they lost their virginity, they got to get you to lose your virginity too, so they feel okay about themselves. Satan's plan. He feels like a spiritual orphan. Spiritual orphans don't like themselves, so now let me get everybody else feeling like a spiritual orphan. That's his plan. And he comes to us not only as the father of lies, but he comes to us as the angel of light. He's always, when he comes to you, he shows you what's right and fair. Look at the faults and weaknesses in that spiritual father. Look at the faults and weaknesses in your earthly father and mother. I wouldn't submit to him. He starts speaking to you. All about what looks right and fair. Back to the illustration of Captain Klein yesterday. Captain Klein promised you you'd be captain in 1 year. Look at him. And I didn't even realize I'm listening to the father of lies. And we either follow the voice of the Father of creation, you're my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased and in whom my favor rests. You're the child in whom I love. We're either hearing that voice or we hear a voice, Father doesn't love you. You haven't done it right. Nobody cares about you. You don't have anybody to love you. You're not lovable. You're doing the deeds of your father. Now, I'm not saying Satan is your father. One person came up and said, you're saying Satan's my father? No, I'm not saying that. Don't go there, okay? But you're being fathered by his voice. No more orphans tape. You were created by God, every one of you, even if conceived out of wedlock. You are God's son and your daughter and his daughter. You are his creation. But you're letting the father of lies, you're letting the angel of light come to you, which to you seems what's right and fair, and you're listening to that voice, and thus your life is patterned after doing the deeds of the voice you're listening to. You see it here now. And see, breaking this spirit of rebellion really comes down to the fathers that we submit ourselves to. And Satan lost his inheritance. Now his whole goal, we talked about inheritance. And we showed in Galatians 4, verse 1 through 7 yesterday, that you can only receive the fullness of your inheritance. Oh, the prodigal could receive an inheritance, but he lost it. You can only receive the lasting fruit of your inheritance that you'll never leave when you have the spirit of submission to a father. And because Satan lost his inheritance, get them into feeling like spiritual orphans, steal their inheritance. And what's your inheritance? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, meekness. What's your inheritance? Your family sanctified and set apart because you've accepted Jesus Christ. Now your families are set apart. And what's your inheritance? The hearts of the fathers restored to the children. The hearts of the children restored to the fathers. What's your inheritance? Healing. What's your inheritance? Provision. Does an orphan have the faith to believe that there's going to be a father in his life to meet his needs? Financial prosperity, we've been saying name it and claim it, name it and claim it. It does not work for orphans. It's very difficult there to believe by faith God's going to meet your need. Oh, in the day's system in the U.S. and America, yeah, through our gifts and talents, we can perhaps appropriate prosperity financially through our effort. But for provision in a faith situation or a faith ministry, for provision to really come without manipulation, without coercion, you've got to have the spirit of sonship. It's part of the inheritance. What's your inheritance? My inheritance I've been crying for. I've been praying the prayer of Jabez for 21 years. Not that prayer, exactly. But I've been praying Psalm 2, verse 8, since December 1980. Father, you said my inheritance is the nations. I ask of you for healing and restorations to go to every nation of the earth. I want to see God raise up ministry through every nation of the earth of healing and restoration going, that the world is going to experience the Father's love. I've been praying that for 20 years, but it took 17 years to break free of the orphan spirit until it began to become reality. I couldn't receive my inheritance for 17 years because I acted more like an orphan than a son. It's all part of our inheritance. Satan wants to steal every bit of it. He doesn't want the hearts of your children restored to you. He's an orphan. He wants your children orphaned. He wants your orphan. He wants you sick. He wants you dead. He wants you dying. And the last thing he wants, and the first thing he wants, is that the nations are not your inheritance. That your family is not so changed that it changes your church family. It changes your city. It overflows into the nations as God releases your ministry to the nations. He doesn't want that happening. And so now his goal, once he no longer can steal your soul, you've been born again in Christ, spiritual orphan, steal your inheritance. And for relationship with the Father, we saw it in Hebrews 9, verse 7 yesterday. God deals with us as sons. And for relationship with God today, we have to come to him as sons and daughters. And that always means it cannot be your way. Remember 12 or 13? We stop valuing our parents' morals. We stop valuing our parents' boundaries. We stop valuing their hugs. We stop valuing their love. We stop valuing their house. We stop valuing the things they provided for us. We'll take all the things they provide for us. But and we take up the attitude about 12 years old, why can't my father do it my way sometime? No inheritance now. You lose it. You see, to come to the Father today, you must come as a small child. Look, Matthew 11. We'll give the long version. If y'all want it, you'll get it, okay? Matthew 11. You must come as a child. Verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I praise thee, O Father, of Lord of heaven and earth. Thou did hide these things from wise and intelligent and did reveal them to babes. You see, we've learned so much of how to prophesy. We've learned so much about end times. We've learned so much about gifts. We've learned so much about power. We've learned so much about anointing. We've gotten so mature and so theologically correct, we've forgotten how to be babies. Totally helpless. We've lost basic trust, basic dependence, God dependence upon Him. And therefore, we've lost, verse 28, Because I believe verse 25 is yoked, and we could read things, read the next two verses, but verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The wise and intelligent can't get there. They're still into aggressive striving, we'll see tonight. Only the kids can. Only the babes can find this basic rest and come into the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of submission. Verse 29, "Taking my yoke upon you and learning from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy," the Spirit of sonship, yes. "My burden is light." What's hard is trying to walk with God as a spiritual orphan. You're here from so many states because you're tired of that game. Now let's go over to Matthew 18. The only way you can come to God today. Matthew 18. Now, of course, we come to Him through Jesus Christ, but it's through childlikeness. "At that time," verse 1, "and the disciples came to Jesus saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of God?'" Who's really going to walk in the inheritance of the kingdom? Who's going to receive everything God has for them, the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus called a child to Himself and set him before them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you are converted..." Other words mean, except you repent and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Do you realize the whole key to the kingdom is repent? John the Baptist said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And the whole thing of repentance is, if we've lost basic trust, we've lost childlikeness. And everything, all I'm teaching is a holiness message. I was sharing on the break. All I'm teaching is sanctification. All I'm teaching is repentance. But repent of what? Repenting in generally, yes, will get us saved. But repenting specifically is what heals the heart. Repenting to your children generally, forgive me for really not being a good dad, doesn't restore their heart to you. Repenting specifically, detailed, specific acts of hurts, wounds, betrayal is what restores basic trust. Hour and a half teaching on healing the heart of the children on that one tape. But verse 4, "Whoever then humbles himself as this child," well, he's the greatest in the kingdom of God. Not how much word we know. Not how eloquent we can preach. Not how much power. Not how much prayer. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? He that has childlike qualities. Let me go over some basic childlike qualities. You can write a sermon on this one. What's at the top of it? Basic trust is the childlike innocence qualities. Childlike quality. Neediness. Childlike quality. Humility. Tenderness. Compassion. Forgiving. Kids have a knockdown drag out, beat each other half up out in the yard, and 10 minutes later they're just in each other's arms. Not like you or I. Dependency. Teachable. Submission. Transparent. Vulnerability. Openness, and I'm just throwing them out off the top of my head. You can put some in there that I don't know. Think of an innocent little 5-year-old child that's come from a loving, affectionate home and not a home where the father's love is often misrepresented. Giving, but probably the greatest childlike quality of all, a desire to be fathered and a willingness to submit to the fathering. Back to the word submission again. Do you need a father today? Do you need a spiritual mother? Do you want one? I truly feel like I came into this revelation. And God brought it to me because in 1984, God brought into my life a woman that I submitted myself to. And I don't want to get into spiritual fathering. I don't know if that tape's out there, but you can order a spiritual fathering tape through our ministry. But for 2 years, I sat at that woman's feet, and we just humbled ourselves to her. She just poured into us as we were pastors. And then 2 years after that, Philip Miles, a pastor in the city, began to come in, and it took him about a year for me to build basic trust with him and realize he didn't want anything from me. And it was those two relationships prepared a foundation. Because if we haven't submitted ourselves to an authority speaking life into us, it's really difficult to mature. There's an Old Testament principle. Old Testament men and women of God were introduced as someone's sons. And the principle, to be a man of God, you have to be somebody's son. To be a mature man of God. All men of God are somebody's sons. And anything in you that fights against childlike dependence, anything in you that fights against a submission to someone, is a loss of basic trust in you. And then how do you come into the spirit of sonship with Father without that basic trust? Because without that basic trust, it's this orphan spirit within us. You see, you were created for dependence upon a father. But when we cease being our father's son or daughter as a child, it's carried over into much of our life. And I truly believe, I mean, it's in me today because it's been my experience as I've developed over the last, since 1984, spiritual fathers in my life. And I have 6 or 7 of them in my life now. Probably more than that if I sat down and counted. Spiritual fathers that I seek admonition from. I seek correction. I seek input in my life. I want them to correct me. I don't like it. My fur bristles. I want to justify. But I can't go without it. I have to have these people speaking in my life because we don't really know what we're full of, do we? Here's one you can write down. There's nothing easier than self-deception. Nothing easier than self-deception, but people around us know. People that we've yielded our life to and say, I want you to speak into my life. Who is it in your life that you are drawing from? You're seeing that is what I want to be. My wife and I, we got a little favorite little phrase. In fact, my wife found it. She says, you know who I want to be like when I grow up. She says this to me about 3 years ago. No, who you want to be like when you grow up? She was 44 when she says it. I want to be like Carol Arnott. And we've had an opportunity to be around them, and they're no different behind the scenes. I got news for you. Out on a fishing boat seasick, John's no different. He's still a lover. Still got compassion. You don't want to do too much hugging at that time, but... But who is it you want to be like when you grow up? Have you bowed your heart to them? Have you bowed your knee to them? The heart of submission. The basic trust. Are you going to see all their faults? Oh, yeah. Are you going to know the weaknesses? Some of my father's marriages lack intimacy. My wife and I have one of the most intimate marriages. I'd say the most intimate for anybody that carries the baggage we carry. That we know, yet I have people that don't have near the degree of intimacy in their life fathering me. Well, how can you do that? I have other people that have the marriage that are fathering me in the realm of my marriage. But there's gifts and anointings in this individual's life. There's faithfulness. There's loyalty. There's commitment. He's not out to use me. He's not out to manipulate me. He's not out to take advantage of me. There's things in his life I want. And so what's happened in that relationship? Because I've been so faithful and loyal as a spiritual son, guess who's become his spiritual father for his marriage? It's odd. I didn't ask for it, but because he knew he could trust me as a spiritual son, he knew there's something we have that he wants to draw from. Whose son are you? Who is it you run to during time of need? I say to you, again, John 5:19, the Son can do nothing of Himself unless it's something He sees the Father doing, For whatever the Father does, these things the Son does in like manner. The son or daughter can do nothing of yourself. I would have hated to have been a mate on a boat for a couple of years. And then, for some reason, you can be a mate on a boat for a couple of years. I can put in 760 days at sea, and I can go to the Coast Guard station, pass a test, and be given a captain's license, and have never been behind the wheel of a boat or never been in a wheelhouse. I remember a day offshore one time, we're about 40 miles from shore, and anybody knows east from west. Anybody. And here's a guy out there, his first day with a charter, six people paying him $800 to take them offshore fishing. He's 400 or 40 miles offshore, and he's on the radio with me. Which direction is home? Can I follow you back to the dock? He's got a compass. He's got a Loran, but he doesn't know how to read it. He hadn't caught a fish all day. I know a lot of Christians like that. They've come and gone through all the motions of church, fulfilling their duty, but they've been on the deck and they've never gone in the wheelhouse with the captain because they have a fear of basic trust. They've heard all the preaching and they're faithful in church attendance, but they've not opened themselves up to a spirit of sonship. Because you can't have a spiritual son, a true spirit of sonship until you have basic trust with a father or a mother figure in your life. So where's that begin? How do I move into that? Jesus was the person he was because of the father he had. He wasn't the person he was because he was God. He wasn't even the person he was because he was sinless. He was the person he was because of the Father he had. How can you say that? Because Jesus only did what he saw the Father do. That made him sinless. He wasn't sinless because he was God. He was sinless because he only did what he saw his Father do, and his Father was sinless. He said, "There's one in heaven greater than I." John 14. And he knew, Dad's got something I want. And I'm going to have a spirit of submission towards Dad. And so he became just like the Father. You will become like your Father. Which voice are you listening to? There's where this whole thing of the spirit of sonship comes in. The whole secret of intimacy. The spirit of sonship. Doing what you see your Father do. Do you need a father? Do you want a father in your life? Do you find yourself maturing? Do you find your inheritance increasing? This brings us to where take at least 30 minutes to go through and probably at least an hour of crying afterwards. We probably ought to go tomorrow and not this morning. Tomorrow we'll come back and we'll go through 8 points tomorrow on receiving the spirit of sonship. How do I go from a spiritual orphan to receiving a spiritual of sonship? Not going to share from a book. I've got to share from my own life experience, life story, and that of my family, moving from orphans into sons.